What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday. No, it's Tuesday, isn't it? That's confusing. September 7th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, on a Widow Wednesday, on a Tuesday, with the one, the only, the rogue one, at Gary Widow.
It's not just you, Greg. That long weekend thing threw me off as well. I woke up feeling like it was Monday, and then I realized I was doing Kinda Funny Games Daily with you. And I was like, but what a great way to start the work week.
There it is. And I'm back here. I wasn't here at all last week. So now look at me hanging out with you now. We're back at it. We're like a bad
habit. Although I had a great show last week with Tamur. That was a really
Oh, I know. I listened to it. It was a great episode. I liked how it was just 15 minutes at the front of you guys talking about where you grew up in the UK. I was like,
people loved it. And I loved it. You got a pair of stuff more often.
Look at us drinking out of water bottles, Gary.
Look at the sponsored freebie merch influencer. You ordered Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah, that's right. I've got
Discord right here. Look at that.
Our friend Allie had stolen this for a long time, but I got it back. Long, don't worry about
long
it.
Long may the free shit continue to rain down upon us.
That's what we all need. That's what we all need.
The only reason I fucking do this shit, Greg, is for the free merch.
Sure, of course. Is so it a free shirt? Where is this Space me. Rock shirt? First off, you did this again. All right, before hit this, everybody, I want you to don't spoil the idea, Gary, because I'm going to get you.
I'm going to say
you a great idea for January 2022. Kind of funny day. We're in the brand new studio. We're going to have a Patreon thermometer. All these. I just pitched you, and you're like, "Well, am I going to get some of that money?" Yeah, you're going to get the money when we pay you to be on the shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when you pay me to do this one show, which I do every week.
Yeah.
But you want me to, but now you want me to do extra special additional content, which would be a massive fucking pain in my dick. Am I going to get paid extra for that? Extra work equals extra pay.
We can negotiate that, but you were just like, you don't want to be a team player. I got Phil Spencer breathing down my neck trying to take Paris Lily. I'm desperately reaching in couch cushions, trying to get some quarters to pay this man to stick around.
Right now, you can't fight Phil Spencer. You know Phil's going to win that war. Just fucking
wave
the white flag of surrender right now. If you want to talk to me about providing additional content, for Kinda Funny, I'll put your people with my people. I've said it before. If you ain't getting paid, you're getting played. Come correct, Greg, and we'll talk.
All right, fine. We'll talk. Okay, I'll pitch the idea to Tim. We'll see if he likes it for his thermometer because he's very protective of his thermometer. Right, Kevin?
As he should be. That rising phallus.
He's got that thermometer throbbing over there, engorged with Patreon.
Engorged with that hot blood of your Patreon's donations.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Gary, how you been? I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, been good. I had a really enjoyable 3-day weekend.
Nice.
Took the opportunity to catch up on movies and TV shows and video games that had been made. I made a tiny, tiny dent in the backlog, but even something.
I'm very jealous of you, all right? Because, of course, as you know, we live and die here by review embargoes. So I'm working on Redacted and Redacted that I'll be reviewing here on tomorrow's Gamescast. Wait, no. Yeah. We recorded today, not on live because it's got embargoes, publishing tomorrow, Gamescast, yada yada, a bunch of reviews. However, I saw you just beat Lake, and I have been waiting for Lake for so long. Lake is out. Lake is on my Xbox. I did the day one, you know, prologue of Lake, but I haven't had time to sit down and play it. What did you think of Lake?
I absolutely loved it. I did a 5-hour stream of it yesterday. I played the first half of it on Saturday night. And really got it. Oh, Sunday night, I should say. And really, really got into it. And I was like, man, I'm enjoying this so much. I kind of want to like stream it and share it with an audience. And so I did kind of I played like the first half of it on Sunday. It's about, I would say like an 8 to 10 hour game overall, the way I played it, which was at a kind of leisurely pace.
Well, that's the whole game, right? If you don't know, you're delivering mail in a small town. You're walking around, you're talking to people, you're getting to know them. It's a Greg-ass game.
And what I loved about it was because it's you keep expecting it to turn into like a body's going to turn up or she's got supernatural powers or something. It's going to have some Twin Peaks, Stranger Things, Life is Strange kind of vibe. But it really doesn't. It's like the most mellow shit. You deliver the mail. You have nice conversations with your friends over coffee. You chill out in the evening on your couch watching sitcoms and reading books. And that's kind of it. And you keep thinking, is this game going to take like a weird turn? And it doesn't, and it's glorious, and I love it, and it's so chill and mellow, and the narrative does eventually goes, I'm saying it just doesn't go like in a wacky direction, but there is a proper story,
sure.
And to me, it's kind of about like the choices that you make in life and this kind of stuff, and it's got like a real philosophical kind of underpinning to it, but it's just so chill, and I wish they made more games like this, just a little kind of slice of life, you know, there's nothing too crazy happens, it's just... You get to spend, you know, 2 weeks in this beautiful little idyllic you know, Oregonian lakeside town. And it's like, oh my God, I want to move to live in one of these towns. It's so peaceful. It's a beautiful game. It's got a beautiful soundtrack. It's going to creep onto my game of the year list, I think. Ooh. It's about, you can finish it in a weekend. It's $20. It's on Xbox and PC. I absolutely loved it. And I heartily recommend it to anyone.
Is it Game Pass?
No, it's not on Game Pass. Okay. I want you. Which, you know, it's funny because so much stuff is on Game Pass. We're always kind of surprised.
You should assume everything's on Game Pass at this point.
But right? I kind of wish it were, because if it were, I think more people would try and go, "Oh, what a delightful little game!" But I'll definitely try and get as many people who are listening and watching right now to give it a try. It's on Steam. It's on Xbox and PC game. Microsoft, whatever you want to call it. And for $20, it's like a good 10 hours. Like it's a couple of nights of gameplay, finish it in a weekend. And it was just wonderful. I really, really enjoyed it. And I would actually want you to play it, Greg, because I think you will really love it.
I'm going to love it.
I know your sensibilities well enough to know. Yeah. I think you're going to really like it. And I want to compare notes with you. I really want to know what ending you pick. And I want to talk to you about how we picked our endings, because it's very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. That'll be a great conversation, and I'm down to do it. I think once I get on the other side of these reviews, it opens up to where I can get into it. But believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, Lake isn't the only video game we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about PlayStation reversing its course on the Horizon upgrade, Tripwire's president stepping down, and the Alan Wake remaster being real. We'll cover all of this and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show over at patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can write in with your questions, your comments, your takes on the video game news of the day. Of course, on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can get the show ad-free, you can get it with the exclusive post-show we do, you can write in for Squad Up, and you can get all these benefits and so much more for things like the Gamescast, PS I Love You XOXO, the Xcast, and the Next Gen Podcast. However, if you have no bucks toss our way, it's no big deal. You could be watching us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. It's September on Twitch. Viewers across the platform throughout the month can take advantage of 20% off subscriptions for first-time subscribers and gifted subs. Your support means the world to us here at Kinda Funny, and right now you can take advantage of this deal and receive benefits like ad-free viewing, sub emotes, and more. That's specifically for you folks watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames as we record the show, like right now, like the Lou 55, Mankind Art, and OMG Jesus. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, if you're watching later and you have Amazon Prime, that means you have Twitch Gaming. Twitch Gaming, of course, gives you a free sub of your choice on twitch.tv. So go over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, link your Amazon account, and you can give it away each and every 30 days. They don't remind you because they want you to forget and not use the benefit. More housekeeping for you. Remember, there is a PlayStation Showcase this Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, and we will be reacting live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Predictions are up right now as an episode of PS I Love You XOXO on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to the Patreon producers for this episode, the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC Clan, Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Honey, DraftKings, and American Giant, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Got four items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen.
Could have gone bigger with it, Kevin. Not your Baker's Dozen. I mean the number of stories, but one of them is humongous. Two of them are great conversation pieces. I was almost put in a fifth one that Don't Nod is going to officially allow people to work from home, but there, I just said it, but it doesn't count. Only got four. So let's start with number one, Gary, with something I think you have an opinion about. Horizon Forbidden West has been backpedaled on by PlayStation. Of course, last week, everyone was flipping out about the PlayStation 4 PS5 upgrade paths. If you don't remember, the PlayStation blog put up a whole bunch of the different editions. And Gary, do you feel like we have too many special editions of games at this point?
I did read a piece over the weekend about all the different SKUs that they have for Forbidden West. And what is it, like seven different
We got the digital deluxe edition. You got the special edition. We got the collector's edition. We got the regalia edition.
I've never really cared about those special editions with the big giant boxes and the figurines and the helmets and the gubbins that they include. Let me, as you will soon discover, Greg, let me tell you, once you've got kids, you don't have any room in your house for all that shit. You'll start to really appreciate digital versions of games. This is why I love digital games. I've got no room in my house for all these fucking games, and especially not the big collector's edition boxes. But it seems like they have really, really gone all out with Forbidden West. I was reading about how, so there's a big giant super deluxe version with a mammoth statue, but that's then there's right. a super duper deluxe version with an even better mammoth statue and some more shit. And it's fine. Listen, if you've got room in your house and disposable income and that's the kind of shit you want, go fucking knock yourselves out. Like, have at it. That's great. It is a lot of SKUs. The confusion, of course, is stemming not from do I want the big mammoth statue or the bigger mammoth statue. It's stemming from the PS4 versus PS5. Well,
mainly, do you want your replica focus and stand? You know, little things.
Do I want it? No, absolutely fucking not. There's a market. There's a whole market of single gamers out there who have a lot of disposable income, who love this shit, and they want to put this shit on their shelves. And Sony is providing that to that particular market. Nothing
wrong
with
that. Just a lot of additions with a lot of bullet points and a lot of different updates. And if you remember when they put these all up last week, one of the things they included at the end was, for players looking to have access to both the PS4 and PlayStation 5 versions of Horizon Forbidden West, please purchase the Digital Deluxe Collectors or Regalia Edition. Dual entitlement does not apply to the Standard or Special Editions. This got announced, people wigged out. Understandably so, right? Because, of course, PlayStation had said they would give you these free upgrades, but then they didn't on this one. And so people were back and forth, and this isn't great, and yada, yada, yada. And it only took a little while. About, 2 days, 24 hours, 48 hours. Time is a flat circle, and I wasn't here last week. But I know that Blessing and Janet were able to talk about it on the PS I Love You. They recorded for today. They recorded on a Friday. And then on Saturday, PlayStation reversed course with this statement. This is Jim Ryan over on the PlayStation blog. Of course, Jim Ryan, president and CEO of Sony Interactive Entertainment. Thursday was to be a celebration of Horizon Forbidden West and the amazing team at Guerrilla working to deliver it on February 18th, 2022. However, it's abundantly clear that the offerings we confirmed in our pre-order kickoff missed the mark. Last year, we made a commitment to deliver free upgrades for our cross-gen launch titles, which included Horizon Forbidden West. While the pandemic's profound impact pushed Horizon Forbidden West out of the launch window we initially envisioned, we will stand by our offer. Players who purchase Horizon Forbidden West on PlayStation 4 will be able to upgrade to the PlayStation 5 version for free. I also want to confirm today that moving forward, PlayStation first party exclusive cross-gen titles, parentheses, newly releasing on PS4 and PS5, both digital and physical, will offer a $10 digital upgrade option from PS4 to PS5. This will apply to the next God of War and Gran Turismo 7 and any other exclusive cross-gen PS4 and PS5 titles published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. End of statement, Jim Ryan. Gary, you had a dynamite conversation over on the Kinda Funny XCast this Thursday. This Saturday. It was you, Mike, Paris Lilly, of course, talking about, hey, man, when this was all a build-up to it, build-up to this new generation, we talked of, is smart delivery some kind of buzzword? And how PlayStation coming out and dropping the ball on this Horizon stuff, getting caught with, oh, well, we said launch window, and this was launch window, but now it's not launch window, so now we're going to... All the stuff that happened. Are you happy with this statement from Jim Ryan and this reverse, of course?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, they've ultimately done the right thing. Of course, they had to be forced, by a consumer revolt into doing it. It does, show the power of the people. If you remember, Microsoft were forced into a similar walk back not too long ago when they tried to jack up the prices of Xbox Live. Remember that? And people said, fuck that, we're not having it. And Microsoft very, very quickly walked it back and, in fact, improved the offering from where it was before. It's good to see that happening again. Of course, the shitty place, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. Sony made a statement that this wasn't going to happen. They reneged on it, thought they were going to get away with it. They clearly weren't. And we did talk on the Xcast about why this isn't a small deal. Like, you're going to want to have that upgrade path, right? Because right now, Forbidden West coming out in February, it's entirely likely with the massive demand for PlayStation 5 that is continuing over the holidays and beyond, and with the chip shortage that is, probably another year at least of being a major issue, that you will be able to get a copy of Forbidden West in February, but you won't be able to get a PS5. But maybe you really, really, really like Horizon, right? You don't want to wait. And so you're going to get it for the PS4 so you can play it right away. But when you do eventually get a PS5, you're going to want to bring it over. And you're not going to want to have to buy the game again or pay some exorbitant fee in order to, you know, have that upgrade. So I think, yeah, it absolutely made sense for Sony to make some kind of offering possible. This is an area where Microsoft, I think, there's a number of areas where I think Microsoft has just done things better and smarter and more consumer-friendly than Sony in this new generation. Game Pass being one, better storage and storage upgrade paths being another, and this being a third one. When you buy a game on Xbox, regardless of the generation, you just know it's going to work across all the generations. An Xbox game is just going to work on Series S or Series X with no extra money, with no extra bullshit. Like, it's just going to work. And Sony has been much more confusing with, oh, maybe it's $10, maybe it's $20, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. It's really annoying. I think they have finally clarified it, which is good. I think, you know, they've been slapped down by the consumer. They won't, step outside the bounds of this again. I don't know why they didn't see this coming. They must have known this would have been a deeply unpopular move. They should have just made it. I don't get it. These are some of the smartest people in the business world, right? They run Sony PlayStation, one of the biggest consumer entertainment brands in the world, and all these people around the table, nobody saw this coming. Consumers might fucking hate this. Person points that out.
No, they knew it was coming, but it's what we always talk about. Like, right, it's like, think of every movie you've ever seen where it's a corporation or even like the fucking president, right? And he's gonna, how many civilian casualties? It's within the acceptable margin, right? That's what this is. It's some bean counter being like, yeah, people are gonna be pissed, but it'll be a vocal minority. It'll be this little group.
You're right. You're right, Greg. Because it's not the equation. The question they're asking is not, are consumers going to hate it? They're okay with if consumers hating it. It's like, can we get away with it? It's like, well, let's try. If we can get that extra $10 or $20 out of everyone or whatever it is, or we can make them buy the game twice or whatever, let's see if we can get away with it. And they tried it. And if we can't get away with it, then we'll backpedal. But let us at least try to see if we can stuff our pockets with them extra for some extra money. And thank God consumers, you know, rose up and said, fuck you, Sony. And Sony had to sit down. But no, they should have got this right to begin with, especially when there's another offering across the street. Phil Spencer and, you know, the jolly green giant over there going, hello, buy a game on any generation of Xbox you want and it'll just fucking work. Maybe you'd be happier over here. Sony should be, I don't know why they keep fucking up. Let me ask you this, Greg. Sure. Do you think the current management of Sony, the Jim Ryans of the world and all the top people, do you think they're incompetent? Because they seem to keep fucking up.
No, I don't think they're incompetent. I don't think they're as dialed in as Xbox. This is what we've talked. This is a, you know, it's funny to be talking about what you talked about on XCast and what we talk about in PS I Love You all the time, right? Where it is that, you know, we sit here and hem and haw and do, you know, these tiny conversations about the grains of sand as the news drops, right? But then when you step back and take in the big picture, like, PlayStation is still crushing it. It still has this amazing exclusive library. It still has this great install base for PS5. They're selling as fast as they can. It's the biggest thing going, yada, 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 yada. But, like, I don't think they're incompetent. I just don't think that they come at decisions saying, we want to be great to gamers. How do we put gamers first? And I really do think that Phil's team does that. And I do think that Phil's team does that because Xbox is playing catch up to some degree. They are trying to earn back the goodwill they had in the 360 era. They do want to be back on being top dog. And you do that by the same way PlayStation usurped Xbox, right? With PlayStation 4 being like, we are all about games. We are about the gamer. We are about games and yada, yada, yada. And so now they've gone back to just being this big corporation that does finance great art. If we want to look there and talk about Returnal, we want to talk about Last of Us Part 2, you want to talk about Ghost of Tsushima, you want to go down the line of things they're doing. It's when we get into these little decisions, but it's exactly what you're saying, right? Of like, did they lose goodwill because of this? No. Like, in the moment when the news dropped and people were pissed about it, sure they did. Of course they did, right? But now they've won it back because, again, this is a decision only us, I mean, the people who are listening to the Daily Video Game News podcast, are paying any attention to, know anything about. Poe doesn't know this happened.
I think they did lose some goodwill. Clearly, we saw that happen in real time. But what matters to, you know, you say that, say to Jim Ryan, oh, you lost some goodwill over this. You know, so who the fuck cares?
They're still going to buy
my fucking games. Yeah. I'm still going to go live on a fucking yacht. The question is, is anyone over this going to go, you know what, Sony, this was the last straw. Fuck you. I'm going to go across the street. I'm going to go, Xbox is going to take better care of me. I'm switching. Be a handful of people, but not enough to affect their bottom line. So they're going to continue to push all the way up to the edge. What can we get away with? What can we get away with? And every time, like, can we go this far? Can we go this far? Can we go this far? Oh, we can't go that far. Let's go back a little bit. Like, they're right at the edge of how much can we fuck gamers over before, like, it becomes unacceptable and we have to, you know, step back a little bit. That seems to be the business model these days, not just at Sony, but at a lot of companies.
Well, yeah, and don't get me wrong. I know that there is an infinite bucket over here to reach into of corporations and companies fucking people over, right? But, like, is that what this is? I think they're handling it well here, right? In the way of, like, hey, cool. We understand that we initially said all launch games would be, you know, the free upgrade path. This wasn't originally one. I understand why you're mad about it. We're changing it, right? Now there's going to be a $10 digital upgrade here. I like that they're spelling that out. And there is this push and pull, as always, of, right, like, you know, I don't think they're Jim Ryan and company, or, and, you know, I shouldn't say that. Let's just talk about PlayStation. I don't think in the boardroom the conversation is how can we fuck over gamers? It is how do we maximize profits? How do we make sure we're, you know, keeping the bottom line fresh, all these companies or all these developers employed and working on their things, right? So I think there is, that's where you get into these hem and hawing. All right, cool. Ghost of Tsushima's upgrade path is going to be $20 for PlayStation 4, 10 more for PlayStation 5. This is the director's cut. Yeah, how do you, like, there's so much stuff, moving pieces that they do it, but it all comes back to the fact that their upgrade path is very fucking complicated, whereas Xbox is, put an Xbox game. If we've done anything awesome to it, it's going to look awesome.
If you have
awesome
an Xbox game, it'll work on your Xbox regardless of which one you have, and it'll be the correct version without any, you know, having to fuck around or pay extra money. Let me ask this, because I thought this was interesting. They said, okay, so we're going to do a very simple $10 upgrade fee for Horizon, and then going forward there won't be any fee at all. Why not just grandfather that in and say there's no fee for Horizon?
Opposite way. Horizon's free. God of War, anything like God of War or Gran Turismo 7 going forward will be a $10 upgrade.
Will be a $10 fee. Okay, I know, but again, that is going to be something that Microsoft will continue to kind of trumpet all the way along. No, you know, it's no extra $10 fee or whatever, like, you just get the game. I do, obviously, this is only going to be an issue for as long as we're in this console transition period.
Yeah.
The thing is, Greg, this console transition period is going to be really, really long, way longer than usual, because you can't upgrade right now. There's no, a lot of people are not going to be able to get their hands on a PlayStation 5 until perhaps 2023. This chip shortage is really, really bad. And there's, and you know, if you go and, like, read about the actual chip shortage and how there's tens of thousands of cars, you know, sitting in Ford and General Motors and Tesla warehouses right now waiting for, you know, chips to be put in because they're not finished until they have that chip. And that's the part that's holding up, you know, the shipping of the product. This is going to go on for a while. Like, I don't think the Xbox and PlayStation and even Nintendo Switch supply system situation is going to get better for several months. This could stretch all the way through next year. So this issue of, well, I really want to play this game now, whether it be the new God of War or the new Horizon or the new Halo or whatever, but I also know I am getting a next gen console at some point in the next year, hopefully, and I would very much like to not have to buy the game over again or pay an exorbitant fee to upgrade it. This is a particularly, you know, keenly felt issue right now for gamers. They don't want to have to wait a year to play a game. They want to play it on their current system now, but they also want to know that it's future proofed, right? That they can play it on their next gen console when they eventually get it. So I think it behooves both Xbox, and they've already done it, and Sony, and it seems like they are now at least on a better track than they were, to put in a system where gamers can have some, you know, assurance and some comfort in knowing that the game they buy today is going to be good for the future.
Yeah, but in some way, this is all a moot point, right? Because there's two very important words when we're talking about this $10 upgrade fee, right? Exclusive, cross-gen. Xbox can beat their chest. Hey, there's no upgrade for blah, blah, and everybody's going to go, cool, but there's also no God of War. There's also no Horizon. There's also no Spider-Man. Right. Like, it'd be a different ball of wax if we're talking about the upgrade fee for a cross-platform game. And I know those exist, but for this argument right here, right, of, like, what's going on. Like, and it's also, yeah, people want to be future-proof and they want to feel great about it, but if we're talking for real about a chip shortage going into 2023, is this really going to be at the forefront of your mind when you're like, I really want to play God of War, but I won't support PlayStation's $10 upgrade fee that I might have to pay in 3 years? You know what I mean? Or whenever you're going to get your PlayStation 5. It's like everything else where I think, first off, we're talking about such a small group of games when we're talking about, you know, these exclusive cross-gen PlayStation 4 and PlayStation 5 titles published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. We're talking about their exclusive lineup, right? But we're not talking about dozens of games by the time this happens. And I think, again, spelling it out is the way. They said, I don't remember them being like, our launch lineup, you won't, like, very specifically, like, our launch lineup. But this is also why whenever any developer or publisher says anything, and like, you know, oh, yeah, it's console exclusive, everybody starts, like, picking apart the wording of what they say, because this is how it works, right? They said apparently somewhere, someone said, hey, our launch lineup, you know, cross-gen upgrades are for free. And now people are like, well, you know, Horizon was going to be one. And they're like, well, but it isn't anymore, but we see your point, so here you go. But now we're putting it out there. $10 across the board is how it's going
to
work.
I think if there's a positive to all of this, and I think there is a big one, it is, much as it did with Xbox several months ago when they tried to jack up the Xbox Live prices and that got slapped down, and now this with Sony, it does highlight that obviously there's so many negatives to social media, but one of the positives is it does give consumers a voice in a way they didn't have before. Like, if they, in the age before social media, like, how would consumers have made their, what would they done? Written in letters? What the fuck is that? No one's going to do that. But it's so easy to just write, you know, at Sony, fuck you, I find this unacceptable, and then get absolutely overwhelmed with that. That the whole, like, oh, we thought this was going to be good, but clearly, you know, gamers have made their voices heard, or whatever, you know, puff piece statement they put out. We see that all the time now, right? Companies backtracking all the time, because there now is this very direct way for consumers to make their dissatisfaction known very vocally. And so I think that it has empowered gamers and consumers in a very real way to say, you know what, fuck, I'm not happy about this, and to such a degree that it actually makes these major companies reverse course. So it's a positive, I think.
It's interesting, Gary, you talk about social media and reversing courses. Number two on the rope report,
it's a Greg way.
It's a Gary way, all right? It's a widow way. Let's talk about a journey that happened on social media while this long weekend was happening. We're going to talk about, of course, Tripwire and their president at the time, John Gibson, who has stepped down since then, but we'll take you on the entire timeline as we go. Of course, if you don't know Tripwire, they're a video game developer and publisher. They're behind stuff like Killing Floor Inclusion, or Incursion, sorry, Maneater, and then Chivalry 2. They published the first two of those, right? And then Chivalry 2, they published Chivalry 2, co-developed Maneater. Like, you see how this works, but they're a video game publisher / developer. On Saturday, John Gibson, the president of Tripwire at the time, tweeted, proud of # U.S. Supreme Court affirming the Texas law banning abortion for babies with a heartbeat. As an entertainer, I don't get political often. Yet, with so many vocal peers on the other side of this issue, I felt it was important to go on the record as a pro-life game developer. Gary, he put up this tweet, and this is another one. I've been away from social media and everything else for the most part for my vacation here in Baby Moon. He put this tweet up, and fire and gasoline. This thing took off. You saw getting moved around, like, you know, John Gibson, not a big personality on Twitter by any stretch of the imagination. I'm looking at the tweet now. You know, it has 13,500 responses, 8.7 retweets, 1,000 retweets, and then 17,000 hearts and stuff like that, as this conversation got going and got moving and doing all these different things. Gary, you were one of them, actually. And I know, obviously, Twitter very keen on surfacing, I think, the people you know. But you're on the number one I saw response before I got into stuff like Corey Barlog, Mike Drucker. And you were like, well, that's the last time I ever consider playing any of your games. Bye.
Yeah, and I planned him one of those guys' games.
Yeah, Maneater, right?
Yeah, I liked Maneater.
Yeah. And so I've seen there's so much going on here. That happens. There's all these different takes from it. There's all this conversation about it. I think let's just go through it all and then double back to it, all right? So that goes up on Saturday. This was followed by tweets from the Shipwright Studios. These are the people who co-developed Maneater. They tweeted, while your politics are your own, the moment you make them a matter of public discourse, you entangle all of those working for and with you. We have worked closely alongside the talented and passionate developers at Tripwire and your partners for the last 3+ years. We know it is difficult for employees to speak up or act out in these scenarios, and they may not feel comfortable to speak their minds. It is regrettable, but we feel it would be doing ourselves, your employees, your partners, in the industry as a whole, a disservice to allow this pattern to continue without comment. We started Shipwright with the idea that it was finally time to put our money where our mouth is. We cannot, in good conscience, continue to work with Tripwire under the current leadership structure. We will begin the cancellation of our existing contracts effective immediately. This was followed by Torn Banner Studios, developers of Chivalry 2, tweeting, "We do not share the opinion expressed in a recent tweet by the president of Tripwire, publisher of Chivalry 2. This perspective is not shared by our team, nor is it reflected in what in the games we create." Sorry. The statement stands in opposition to what we believe about women's rights. And then yesterday, Monday, Tripwire itself put out this statement. "The comments given by John Gibson are of his own opinion and do not reflect those of Tripwire Interactive as a company. His comments disregarded the values of our whole team, our partners, and much of our broader community. Our leadership team at Tripwire are deeply sorry and are unified in our commitment to take swift action and foster a more positive environment. Effective immediately, John Gibson has stepped down as CEO of Tripwire Interactive. Co-founding member and current vice president, Alan Wilson, will take over as interim CEO. Alan has been with the company since its formation in 2005 and is an active lead in both the studio's business and development affairs. Alan will work with the rest of Tripwire leadership team to take steps with employees and partners to address their concerns, including executing a company-wide town hall meeting and promoting open dialogue with Tripwire leadership and all employees. His understanding of both the company's culture and creative vision of our games will carry the team through the transition with full support from the other Tripwire leaders." Gary, as you were vocal on the initial tweet, I want to start with, why did this cross the line for you? And then are you happy with the responses you've seen throughout the weekend?
Excuse me a second. Let me clear my throat. Freedom of speech is not the same thing as freedom from consequences. And this guy, I don't know, what did this guy fucking think was going to happen? You know, when you express an opinion in support of something, I don't want to get, this is not the time or place to get into an abortion debate, but I think most reasonable people can agree that this particular law is so draconian and so fucking over the line and so harmful and damaging to women everywhere in America and to the fabric of our society in general, that anyone who expresses it should expect some serious fucking pushback. It's exactly what he got. And I thought the Shipwright statement hit the nail on the head. He's not just, when you're the head of a company, you're not just speaking for yourself. You know, everyone that you work for and do business with gets caught up in that shit. I can only imagine how horrified, I would imagine the vast majority of people who worked at Tripwire or Shipwright or anyone who does business with this guy, looking at that tweet going, what the fuck? I don't want to get, I can't work for this fucking guy. I don't want to get dragged into this shit. This is so fucking awful. And, you know, it's really not that surprising that this came around on him as quickly as it was. We should be talking about games, but it's so bad. There's a reason, Greg, that you've not heard almost anything about this, even on like Fox News. Even conservatives and right-wing Republicans are embarrassed about this law. They know it's awful. They know it's bad. They know it's wrong. They know it's fucked up. They know it's the thin end of a very, very dangerous wedge. It's shocking and harmful and appalling. And if someone in a position of, public and private responsibility, like the CEO of a major video games company, is gonna on their own without consulting or asking anyone else at their company that they work with, going out and saying, "Well, I think this law is fantastic." I think he deserved everything he got. It's not cancel culture; it's consequence culture. Just as he has the right to express that opinion, when it's an opinion that fucking bad, I and many others also have the right to express our opinions and our freedom of expression by saying, "Well, we're not going to do business with you," or we're going to exercise our rights to say that you can fuck off and we don't want to buy your games. That's what happened.
Amen. 100%. You know, what you said, I think, was echoed by Matt Kim, of course, over at IGN.com. He put up this tweet that I thought nailed it, right? "I'm not going to meet you anywhere on any anti-abortion stance you might have, but I'm not going to even so much as look in your direction if you support a draconian law that declares it open season on pregnant women." That's where the Tripwire guy was at. Right. Like, yeah, as you started this conversation, right, and we started talking about this, you're like, this isn't about, you know, being pro-choice or pro-life. This is about this very specific law. Right. And it's this law that is outrageous. Or, you know what I mean? This is something else that, you know, happened obviously while I've been gone. So I haven't talked on camera or on a podcast about this. But are you fucking kidding me with this law? Are you fucking kidding me with this law that What we're doing is incentivizing private citizens to spy on pregnant women and drivers and like try to report these people to like these hotlines to have them like, what are we fucking talking about? Like, yeah, that's where we're going with this, let alone. And I, you know, I'll throw it out there. Of course, I'm skewed in the argument. I am pro-choice. I believe in a woman's right to choose. I believe that me as a man and men in general have no fucking right to come in here and try to govern how women want to do anything with their bodies. I think that to me, that sounds like such a basic statement, of course, but now to say it, like, it's to put all that out the window, but to let you know my lens, because of course I'm going to let you know, like, to then look at this law. Are you fucking kidding me?
I think, you know, again,
6 weeks, no exceptions.
The larger issue is for another forum. And I think there's room for reasonable opinions on both sides of that debate. And it's never going to get resolved, but I think you can go too far in one direction or another. And this, it goes way too far. And again, we're talking about something else. As far as the games industry is concerned, this guy's place in it, I think it was deeply irresponsible to express an opinion, which he must have known. Well, I'm sure he
knew what was going to happen.
I'm sure he believes it deeply, and he must have known that it was going to be unpopular in many people. And I guess that speaks to how sincerely he must believe this. That he felt like it was worth going out on a limb to say something that he sincerely. You know, and believes in a heartfelt way. That's fair enough. Believe what you want to believe, but also make room for other people who think that what you believe is abominable, and there's no room for it in a civilized society. And you know, there's all of the different, you know, strands of our social fabric intersect. You know, from our private lives and our public lives, and what happens in the public space and the private space, and how corporations behave, and how the government behaves, and how individuals behave, and. I do think that when you express support for something this deeply unpopular, again, to the point where like almost most conservatives and people in even the right wing sphere, I just like kind of go, I didn't see it, because they're embarrassed. They know how awful it is. When you scoop up all the hundreds of people that work, you know, with you and alongside you, whether at the company or other companies like Shipwright that do business with you, you put them in a deeply difficult position. But in fact, it's actually not that difficult. Shipwright knew right away what they needed to do, which was back the fuck away from this guy. Like, this is not acceptable, dude. There are some opinions that are so awful that it makes it impossible to work with you. So good luck. And yeah, I hope you enjoy making games by yourself or whoever else you can find to work with you. But I'm gonna express my freedom of choice and my freedom of expression to decide I no longer want to work with you. And you know, God bless America.
It's your point, yeah. I mean, because we can put a pin in this. I think we've talked it. Or, we said our piece. But like, yeah, like this. He knew what he was doing. He knew what the reaction he was doing, and that's the whole thing of like. So what does John Gibson want to do with this? He knew what he was doing. He knew what he put the statement out. He probably knew he would get in trouble. He probably knew that his company doesn't agree with him. He probably knew he wouldn't be working at Tripwire much longer. What do you want to do with that? And again, Andy Cortez has a great tweet from over the weekend the weekend that went like this. I bet we're less than a week out from having that Tripwire present on our podcast explaining his side of the story, even though we know his side of the story, and the podcast host being like, quote, yes, cancel culture is bad. I agree. This writes itself. What he wants to do with this infamy is another thing, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, there was some jokes over the weekend about like, you know, Ben Shapiro Interactive getting announced next or whatever, or like there's that you're seeing this now, this weird kind of bifurcation where a lot of the conservatives and the right wing people who are, you know, crying foul, crying cancel culture, and now going off and kind of creating the Freedom Phone and all the fucking bullshit kind of right wing, you know, media, you know, movie studios that are propping up. Again, it's America, freedom of speech. If you can find a market for that, then go do that. No one's going to stop you from doing that. So you've not been canceled. This is the amazing thing to me. People on Fox News, people on, you know, some of the biggest podcasts and biggest radio shows in America complaining about they're being canceled. You're not fucking canceled. Why, if you're canceled, why am I still fucking listening to you? Why am I still hearing from you? If you've been canceled, I wouldn't be fucking hearing from you. But you're everywhere all the time complaining about how you've been canceled. Something's not right. This is America. You have a right to find your way. You have a right to your opinion. You have a right to, you know, try and make a living. But I also have a right to have nothing to do with you if I think that what you stand for is egregious. And, you know, the system works. We're seeing it work right now. Some people don't like the way the system works because it's not advantageous to them. It is what it is.
The marketplace of ideas is great until people are like, we don't want your ideas. Then you're like, wait, hold on a second, it's canceled.
I've been to the marketplace of ideas and I've decided your ideas are worthless and I want nothing to do with them. I'm going to go over here and buy these ideas. I like these ideas much better. Thank you very much. It's pretty straightforward stuff. I think this will, whether on this, I don't know what's going to happen to Tripwire. I think, you know, hopefully, again, Tripwire as a company has made some good games. I fucking loved Man Eater. You and I have talked many times about how much I really enjoyed that game. Really, really fun game. I think there's some DLC coming down the road as well that I might now be able to. I there's no way I could have gone back to any kind of Tripwire game in good conscience, knowing that, you know, it's that I could in any way be putting money into the pocket of a guy. Like, because you think about it, right? It's real shit. I put money. I buy a Tripwire game. It enriches this guy who then what goes and funds some of these efforts or puts money in the pockets of politicians that advance these causes. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I couldn't live with myself. So I don't know what's going to happen to this guy. I think he and some like-minded people will probably pop up with some kind of renegade right-wing, you know, video game company or whatever. And there'll be a market for it. That, you know, and again, I don't want to say best of luck to them because I sincerely hope that fails, but they have a right to go and seek that market. Just, you know, again, I have the freedom to not buy those games. And that's all you're seeing is people expressing their freedom of expression. You say, well, my freedom of expression is saying, I think this terrible law is great. And someone else's freedom of expression is saying, well, fuck you. That's how America works, is everyone telling each other to go fuck themselves. It's worked for 200 years, and long may it continue.
Well said, Gary Whitta. Well said. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you support our ideas and how we talk on this show all the time, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show with the exclusive post show. You can get a bevy of benefits for things like the Kind of Funny Games cast, PS I Love You XOXO, the Kind of Funny X cast, of course, the Patreon exclusive show Next Gen, and so much more. But most important for right now, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get each and every episode of Games Daily ad-free. And speaking of ads, Gregway, here's someone to tell you about them.
Wait, no, just give me like 2 more minutes. Sorry, I messed this one up.
Two more minutes?
We got a vamp for 2 minutes?
Can they hear you? Yeah, I got a vamp for 2 minutes, Kevin. Wow.
30, give me 30 seconds, all right? Why are you rushing?
Well, you said 2 minutes, so here I am. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
One second.
No, you're doing great. No, you're doing great. Don't worry about it, Kev. Gary, what'd you have for breakfast?
I had some granola. Do you see that Matrix trailer thing that dropped this morning?
I saw like the screenshots of it from some website, right?
Oh my God, I think Paris must be shitting his pants right now because it looks really, really sweet. It's actually a really clever trailer. Every time you click on it, it seems like the same trailer, but it's actually randomly generating the clips that it shows you. There's like a pool of like 100 different clips, I guess. So every
Paris
time you
Lily
click on
from
the trailer,
Kind of Funny X
different.
Paris
you get
Lily
a
from the
trailer.
Kind of Funny X. Did you shit your pants today looking at this Matrix trailer?
Absolutely, I did. Absolutely, I did. And then Gary's like trolling me on Twitter, just fueling the excitement. So I want to say right here for the record, whatever trailer reaction Kind of Funny is doing, I need to be a part of that. That's all I'm saying.
Shoot Tim a DM. I'm not sure if anything's happening. Hit him up.
I must have watched the trailer already about 20 different times because I said every time you rerun the trailer, it's a different trailer with different.
I thought it was just a website today. I thought the trailer is like.
No, it's a trailer. And the amazing thing is, whatever time you watch the trailer at, that's the voiceover you get. It's like, yes, you are watching this trailer at 9:43 a.m. And it's fucking 9:43 a.m. And they recorded these actors saying basically every hour and minute on a 24-hour clock. And it bakes that into the HTML of when the trailer runs. And you get different clips each time. It's fucking amazing. I love the fact that this movie is already doing crazy shit. And we've barely seen anything of it yet. Really, really cool.
Sorry, we're ready to rock and roll.
All right, well then, ladies
all right,
and gentlemen.
I help kill the time. All right, I'm out. I'm excited
thank
for Thursday.
Good job, Paris. Love you. Thank you very much, buddy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's have a word from our sponsor.
Online shopping. Everybody does it. There's no shame in it. Unless you're doing it without Honey, that is. Then you should be ashamed of yourself. That's because Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds to your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, from tech and gaming sites to fashion brands and even food delivery. It's also super simple to use. When you go to checkout, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply codes. Then sit back and relax and Honey will search for coupons. If it finds a working one, you'll watch the price drop. Kevin and Tim swear by Honey. Everything they buy, they run through Honey first just to make sure we're making sure we get that best price possible. Kevin and Tim love Honey. Every single thing we buy, especially for the new studio, we use Honey for because we want to make sure we're getting the the best price possible. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. We'd never recommend anything we don't use ourselves. So go over, get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games. It's finally here. The NFL is back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons to get you excited. Literally millions, because to kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize, with a total of $4 million up for grabs for Thursday's opener. Getting in on Thursday night's single game showdown is easy. Draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Download the DraftKings app now and use code KFGD. This week, new customers can get a free shot at the $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. Enter code KFGD to get a free shot at the $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code KFGD only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. American Giant isn't just the name of the people who make the greatest hoodie ever made, no exaggeration. The folks over at American Giant call themselves that because they know the power of supporting local manufacturers, communities, and workers. That's why they produce everything in America, with the added bonus of getting to obsess over every single detail of their clothing at every step. And let me tell you, those two things close to home for me. I love great quality, I love made in America, and I love when people obsess over details. American Giant began with the belief that local makes better. Every detail matters, and the clothes you wear every day should be beautiful and durable. But they didn't stop there. After their first best-selling hoodie, they expanded well beyond it, continuing to revolutionize your everyday wardrobe and leaving things better than they were before. Explore American Giant's collection of durable essentials at AmericanGiant.com. And you get 20% off when you use code KFGD at checkout. That's 20% off at American-Giant.com. The promo code KFGD.
All week long, it's going to drive me crazy that Nick didn't like do his hair. Like, he clearly just took off the beanie he wears, and his hair's all woof, and he's like, I'm going to do this ad now. It's going to be in every show.
You think Nick's starting to phone it in, Greg?
No, he's, I mean, he started phoning it in 2015. Like, I don't think. Number three on the Roper Report, Alan Wake Remastered is real and announced. We go over to Remedy, where over on one of the blogs, Sam Lake himself wrote, I'm beyond happy to tell you that at the time of this writing, Alan Wake Remastered is nearing completion. Confirmed, announced, coming up in partnership with Epic Games Publishing. Multi-platform, PC on the Epic Game Store, Xbox, and for the first time ever, PlayStation, this generation and the previous one. Early on, and I'm, by the way, I've cut out a whole bunch of stuff if you want to go read Sam's entire letter, because it's very much written to you, the fans. You made this happen. Early on in the game, Alan Wake says, in a horror story, the victim keeps asking why, but there can be no explanation, and there shouldn't be one. The unanswered mystery is what stays with us the longest, and it's what we remember in the end, end quote. This is an idea close to my heart. Stories that make me think excite me. Stories where everything is not freely handed out to me or wrapped up neatly, where I am left with a mystery. Mysteries are magical to me. They hold a promise, and I am often happier with that than a final answer. This is what we as a team, and I as the lead writer of Alan Wake, set out to create for you a long time ago. Alan Wake Remastered is the original experience you fell in love with all those years ago. We did not want to change that, but the visuals all around, including the character model of Alan Wake himself and the cinematics, have been upgraded and improved with some choice next-generation upgrades. Alan Wake Remastered will launch this fall. Stay tuned for more information soon. Alan Wake Remastered, published by Epic Games Publishing, will be available on PC on the Epic Games Store, PlayStation 5, PlayStation 4 / Pro, Xbox Series X / S, Xbox One, Xbox One S, and Xbox One X. Gary, does this get your X-Cast heart aflutter?
Yeah, in fact, I mentioned this to Leah this morning. This one's a particularly particular interest to us in our household, because back in the day, my wife, who loves these kind of horror explorer-y, you know, type games, expressed interest in Alan Wake, and we ended up, I think we picked it up as a used at GameStop for like $10 on Xbox 360, but we never got around to it. It just kind of sat there. But now I think this will be the incentive that we need to finally kind of revisit it. You know, a nice remaster, you know, updated, you know, graphics, and I'm sure they've fixed a bunch of other stuff as well. I'm not sure exactly what's on the list of things that they're doing to update it, other than, you know, next gen graphics, which would by itself would be very nice. You know, all the stuff with the flashlight, you know, you can imagine how it's going to look good, you know, with next gen graphics. So that'll be good. I'm very pro remake slash remaster across the board. I've really enjoyed the ones that I've played. And I love the fact that, you know, because we so rarely go back, and I think it's hard to get, you know, gamers, a lot of gamers, at least maybe younger ones, to go back and, you know, revisit games from prior generations, because, you know, they look like older games. They're not, you know, they're not as appealing as, you know, the current games you can play on current gen hardware. So to, you know, to bring them up to that, to current specs, you know, to give them that nice, you know, fresh coat of paint, maybe fix some of the niggling, you know, issues. You know, they did a bunch of this with the Mass Effect remaster, as you know. And yeah. I think it's great. You know, all these so many great games that, you know, people might be overlooking just because they're older, now getting, you know, represented for a new audience, brought up to, you know, the current standards of what we'd expect from, you know, next gen hardware. I think it's a great trend, and long may it continue. I'm all for it.
Sapphire Diamond Ruby writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can, and says, hey KFGD, what excites you most about an Alan Wake remaster? For me, it'll be playing it. I'm a big Remedy fan, I would say, but when Alan Wake dropped in 2010, I was at IGN, obviously played it for a little bit, and it didn't click for me at the time. And I don't, you know, now knowing how much I love Remedy, right? And how much I loved, you know, Remedy before with Max Payne. But now, of course, with Control, Quantum Break, the stuff they've done since then, right? I would consider myself a Remedy fan. And the fact that I never clicked or gave Alan Wake enough time to really gestate, it might have been just the pacing of it at the time. Obviously, an explore-y horror game walking around the flashlight wasn't really, you know, I guess I shouldn't say the case, because we have things like Fatal Frame before that even. But it just didn't click for me in the moment. And so now, you know, we're here in the spooky season of Halloween. It's already upon us, of course, September.
Yeah, we're in Spooktember right now.
Can't wait, of course. Don't look at me. Oh, look at me, everybody. Halloween King, Halloween. Don't worry about it. Won't be, you know, the baby's going to screw everything up for me with arguing about blessing about it, but you understand.
This will be the most terrifying Halloween. You're going to see so much blood, Greg, and poop.
And I'm
this
not going to need
the scariest Halloween season.
I won't
ever
need to do zombie makeup, right? I'll look like that already from sleep deprivation.
Yeah.
I'm just stoked to play it, and obviously have nice visuals and go into this, but it's somebody who, you know, loved Control so much and loves Remedy so much. I'm just excited to get in there and, you know, actually see what it is and take it at my own pace and get part of it.
So. Yeah, like I said, there's a whole bunch of gamers out there who probably never even heard of Alan Wake, you know, because, you know, it's obviously quite relatively old, you know, in gaming terms at this point, two generations old. And what's interesting is Remedy, when you think about it now, is a developer with a much better pedigree now than they were when they first released Alan Wake. Now they get to say, from the makers of Control, and people go, oh, really? That's interesting.
Game of the year winner.
Yeah. So I think it's a good, I think it makes a lot of sense for them to bring it back. What do you think about Max Payne remastered? Do you think it could do that next? Is that something you'd be interested in?
I mean, like, I'm such a weirdo where I'm like, oh, immediately, yes, I'd love that. I loved Max Payne 1 and 2. But, like, would I really go back and replay all the way through Max Payne, right? And I remember how much I hated the blood mazes back in the day. Now, you know what I mean? Like, that was contemporary game design. Now, in 2021, I'd be like, this fucking sucks and I don't want to do it. I don't know. Like, you know, they made Max Payne 3, obviously. Granted, it was Rockstar and stuff like that. It was, you know, a different thing, but I don't know. That's one of my, Max Payne's one I look back fondly on, but I don't need to revisit, I feel like. And I also feel like Remedy's doing such a great job of pushing forward and doing new things. And granted, I know there's, you know, rumors. You got that Joe Scrabble's over at IGN saying, oh, now that Remastered's here, they must be working on Alan Wake 2. We'll see. Again, I'd be, you know, that'd be cool. Or, you know, more Alan Wake, not Alan Wake 2, because there wasn't Alan Wake 2, right? Or am I getting that? No, there was Alan Wake DLC.
I thought there was an Alan Wake 2, but maybe
Alan Wake. But then what was the DLC called that expanded on it?
American Nightmare or whatever
that's
it was.
The one I'm thinking of. You know what I mean?
Let me ask, I can't remember if we've talked about this before, but I'm sure it's been a topic recently with the remake remaster trend trending as it has been doing. Do you have a particular game that's like two generations or more old that you would particularly love to wave a magic wand and see brought into the next gen?
Listen, I'm not even going to put it out there. I didn't put it out there as news.
We all know that when you ask for things, the game industry complies. So why not use some of that power?
Everybody's going with Metal Gear, of course. Of course, Metal Gear. Duh. Obviously, yes. Blue Point make Metal Gear. Metal Gear Solid.
That would be a good one.
But I don't believe it. I don't buy it. It's not worth putting in the Roper Report, so I didn't. But a young gentleman who's not the king of Halloween, Blessing at AOA Jr., did put in the PS I Love You XOXO chat today on Slack, or he did a couple days Sunday. It's from comicbook.com, which I don't trust. A new rumor has suggested that PlayStation could announce a new Infamous game in the coming days at the Thursday showcase or whatever. I don't buy it. I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it. I don't buy it. However, if on Thursday at this fucking showcase, they announce Infamous Remastered or, you know, fucking remake or just a new Infamous, I'll lose my fucking mind. I will lose my fucking mind. And all I want, Gary, is them. You know, we were talking about earlier with the re-releases and remasters. Just fuck. You can't easily play Infamous right now. And I don't fucking bring the PlayStation Now shit to me. I don't want PlayStation Now shit. Put a new Infamous 1 and 2, same disc, same download. It's a remaster. Let me do that. Let me just run around Empire City again as Cole. Let me have some fun. I don't believe those
Infamous games. I know that they have fans, but like I kind of feel like when you go back to like all of the games from the, you know, what you consider like the kind of the first party or kind of the flagship games from the early days of the PlayStation, like Infamous, like Resistance, you know, was another one. Sure. Is there enough of a fan base out there to really justify bringing those back? Do you think? I mean, these games aren't Mass Effect.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I think it would be, how hard is it to remaster and put something in? That'd be the thing. The thing about it is, like, Infamous, honestly, I feel like it's ahead of its time, right? When we talk about Infamous. Because now, like, keep in mind, like, why I popped so hard for Infamous back in the day, let alone that I was on the PlayStation team, so I'd be covering it so much. But it was the fact that, oh my God, a superhero story where I get to choose if I'm good or bad and, like, what I'm going to do with my powers. And yet, like, it was... If somebody's making a superhero game, you know, Sucker Punch, who is obviously super talented, but they're making a superhero game and doing it right. And now superhero games are done right all the time. And no, I'm not going to talk about Marvel's Avengers because obviously there's been so many problems. But you look at something like the entire Batman Arkham series, right? You look at Insomniac Spider-Man. Like,
oh yeah,
it's an embarrassment of riches right now in terms of it. So like, Infamous just came at this time where superheroes were really, really getting into pop culture and becoming what you think about now with the MCU. But it was too early, and now we're so far gone that if you were to come out and be like, we have an Infamous game, would people care? Because now you have Insomniac making Spider-Man. Like, you have, you know, I'm sure in the back of the day, Sucker Punch would have loved to take the IP of anybody, any superhero, and use it, but instead they made their own because that wasn't something that was really possible. Now you go forward, and it's like, well, that's clearly something that's super possible to have people. You look at Firaxis working on their Marvel game, right? Like, there's a million different ways to do that and have that actually happen.
But. Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy coming up. You know, the Justice League game looks, the Suicide Squad game looks good. Yeah, it's good times for. It's a good point that you raised, Greg. Like, back in the day, you would think superhero video games would be like such an easy or like a fertile genre. And yet they have mostly been shit over the history of superhero games. And it's only really recently, in the last few years, that they've gotten really good.
Yeah, it's all licensed stuff. Yeah, Batman changed everything. We Barrett had to go through in the chat. He said we didn't deserve the Batman series, or we don't. Yeah, we didn't deserve the Batman games. Barrett's 100% right. You know, you can't talk about Rocksteady and knock it. And we can't give Rocksteady enough credit for what they did for superhero games to really turn that around and make it be a.
What
thing
do you think is the most likely of those? Like, if you think about those Sony kind of like franchises that they owned but never really kind of blew up, like Infamous, like Resistance, like Killzone, like SOCOM, like if they wanted to bring one back, what do you think would be the best bet from like a we want this to be a success type perspective?
God, that's a tough question, Gary, right? Because you look at what Sony is now, and I think if I'm there and I'm Jim Ryan and you just lay that question out for me, right, I would do it like this. Infamous, no. We have Spider-Man. We don't need two superhero games.
That's a good point.
Then I would look at Resistance and be like, let me do it. Killzone, no. We tried to make Killzone work for years. It never took off. It never think. Guerrilla's, and I know you can move them to different things, but Guerrilla's working on Horizon, and it's a bona fide banger, so we don't need this. Killzone's dead. SOCOM, you get into, and I would be like, SOCOM, there's not a need in the market for it.
Doesn't
like, there's
Call
a hard
of Duty Battlefield kind of own that space now?
I would go to Ubisoft and I would be like, you know, they're the one making the Tom Clancy games that are like Ghost Recon, that are, you know, the very tactical, very much communicated. So I'd kill that. And then you get to Resistance, and I guess I'm presented with that and I have to green light one, I would green light Resistance. And because it is the thing of, I think Resistance 3, again, in a lot of ways, ahead of its time for what PlayStation is now. Where PlayStation now, when you think of I'm getting a PlayStation exclusive, usually you think you're getting a story-based, hard-hitting game, right? That's going to be have a focus on narrative and be fun to play. And Resistance 3 was that. It was saddled with the Resistance name. Hold on, everybody. put down your torches and pitchforks, PlayStation fans. It was saddled the Resistance name, which I what to me means you already had Resistance 1, Resistance 2, and Resistance Retribution on PSP, right? Which meant, guess what? If you didn't give a shit about Resistance for three other games, how do we make you care about this game? How do we make you care about this game that's supposed to conclude the saga of this thing? You know what I mean?
Like, and just in general, like for Killzone and Resistance, like the last genre that I would want to try and find space in right now is first-person shooter. That it's so saturated. Like, do we really need... like, how many more of these fucking things do we need?
But see, you know? the wiggle room there, I think, would be that what if, like, if I'm in first... And first off, who says that Resistance has to be first-person, right? Like, if we're talking about trying to bring one of these franchises back... put it third person, let it be, you know, this narrative shooter that you're talking about. But also in the same breath of all this, like, I think you look at something like what Machine Games has done for Wolfenstein, right? I think you look at that being a really cool narrative to play through and see somebody take Resistance that way. And again, Resistance 3 kind of was that. One man's story, traveling across the country, having his son's mitten in his pocket. That was fucking cool. I don't even like shooters, right? And I beat that. I was like, that's fun. So Resistance, I guess.
Yeah, I guess my money would be on Resistance as well. It's not going to be Insomniac, though, is it? They've got other things.
I mean, they got multiple teams, actually. Actually, you know what? I said no like that. They got multiple teams. I'm sure Marcus wants to get back to it. They just
if it were Insomniac, then I've never really had much interest in the Resistance series. Uh-huh. But if today's Insomniac making a new one, you would have to pay attention to that.
100%. Your mouth to God's ear. Number four and final on the Roper Report's a quick one. Is the new EA studio called Neon Black? We're going to VGC, where Andy Robinson writes. Electronic Arts' new open world game developer could be called Neon Black Studios. That's according to a trademark filed by the Battlefield publisher at both the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office and the European Union Intellectual Property Office last month. The listing, which covers, quote, design and development of interactive computer video and electronic game software, is registered to EA's head office in Redwood City, California. The trademark is possibly related to EA's new unnamed studio recently founded by former Monolith Productions VP and studio head Kevin Stevens. Not much to add to there. Keep your eyes peeled for a Neon Black getting revealed soon enough. But Gary, Neon Black's reveal can't come soon enough. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software on each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Dead by Daylight's Hellraiser chapter is out. Lucrative profits await those in Red Dead Online as Call to Arms is doling out double rewards all week long, while the latest login bonuses will aid in keeping players in tip-top shape. Dream Cycle is on PC. Sonic Colors Ultimate is on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. FIST Fist Forged in Shadow Torch is out on PlayStation 5 and PlayStation 4. Vampire the Masquerade Blood Hunt is on PC. Crown Trick is on PS4, Xbox One. Bus Simulator is on PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Tennis Manager 2021 takes center court, launching today on Steam, Epic Game Store, GOG, and the Mac App Store. New dates for you. Crisis Remastered will be available on Steam September 17th, and it'll also come with a launch discount of 20% off. Hey, that sounds like a deal of the day. And speaking of deals of the day, Greg Way, GameSpot's got one for you. Far Cry 3 is one of the best entries in the Ubisoft's over-the-top FPS franchise. If you missed it when it launched back in 2012 or simply want to revisit it, you can grab Far Cry 3 for free at the Ubisoft store for a limited time. You have until September 11th at 2:30 a.m., your local time, to claim Far Cry 3. This freebie is only available on PC and launches via the Ubisoft Connect client. A good game, Far Cry 3. So if you have not played it, why not pick it up for free? Gary, we asked people watching live on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames to go to kindafunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody who's been watching later. Kebabs tries to correct me, and I did not say that. That's somebody's line about King of Halloween.
I don't think they should call games Fist. I don't think you should use the word fist in games anymore.
Okay. Because
you just think about fisting, don't you? You think about sexy fisting. And like it immediately kind of puts you off. Or makes you more interested. I don't know. I'm not gonna kink shame you, Greg.
Sure.
But I'm just saying, you immediately, maybe it says more about me, but like my mind goes right to that place.
Yeah.
And I'm not thinking about whatever lore, like what I don't know what FIST stands for. I
just Torsion Shadows go, like, right there after Fist.
Yeah. But I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about, you know,
we should just wrap this up.
The other Fist thing.
Right. Druvenator says, cool fun news, Twin Mirror, and tell me why studio will let employees choose whether they want to work from home or the office remotely. Druvenator, you owe me $1 on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames because I did fucking talk about this. Do you remember this when I said don't nod, said they can work from home or we're not? That was literally talked about on this episode.
Throwaway one, remember?
Fucking pay us a dollar or get the fuck out, you know?
This fucking kid.
It looks like we have some breaking news here from Charles Jacobson. Ubisoft appoints Igor Manchu as chief creative officer, replacing Serge Hascote, who resigned in 2020 before any formal investigations. So there's some stuff happening there. We'll look into that maybe for tomorrow's episode, maybe not. But there's movement at Ubisoft because, of course, remember, a bunch of dirtbags are at Ubisoft and they're trying to get rid of them. As they should. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of dirtbags, tomorrow the show will be hosted by Blessing and Andy. Thursday, it'll be me and Tim. And Friday, it will be me and Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr., the Prince of Halloween. If you're watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames right now, guess what? Apex Legends is up next with the one, the only, the retired Hunter Pence. That's right. Former Giants baseball player Hunter Pence coming through to play some Apex Legends with the boys. If you're interested in that, but you're listening to this or watching it later, guess what? You didn't miss it. You go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our newest YouTube channel, to go in there and get all the archives of the Twitch streams. Remember, you can support this show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get the show ad-free and you get it with the post show Gary and I are about to do. But if you have no bucks to toss our ways, please like, subscribe, share on your podcast service, on your youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, on Rooster Teeth. I don't really know if you like, subscribe, share on Rooster Teeth. Whatever you do over there, God bless you. You know what I mean? Am I right, Kevin? Who knows what's happening on that site?
Thank you for doing it with us, maybe. You know?
Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, Gary and I have a post show to do. So if you're not coming with us, it's been our pleasure to serve you.